Hi, this is Ben Trefney, news director at KALW. We're in a membership drive right now. You can support what we do. More than 70% of our funding comes from listeners like you. Please go to donate at KALW.org, click it, and keep these stories coming. Thank you.
KALW.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. We're going to delve deeper into KALW's journalism training programs inside prisons. We're joined now by the project lead for San Quentin Radio, Marissa Ortega Welch.
Hi.
Hi.
And also with us is Eli Wertschafter. He is heading up a brand new KALW project at Solano State Prison. Hey, Eli.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi. So, Marissa, let's start with you. Let's talk about the San Quentin program. Why don't you start by telling us about the San Quentin program? When did it start? What was the initial idea?
So KALW has been going into San Quentin since 2013. It was started by our former news director, Holly Kernan, and a handful of volunteers on the outside, and also people on the inside incarcerated in San Quentin who wanted to be telling their stories and learning how to make all kinds of media stories, not just radio, but video as well. When we started going in, there weren't a lot of media programs, and our program has grown a lot in the last couple of years, and other media programs have grown as well. There's a whole media lab in San Quentin, people inside producing not just radio stories, but video, documentaries. There's San Quentin News, a newspaper that's distributed in prisons across the country. So there's a lot of media coming out of San Quentin, and we're really happy to be a part of it and get to air some of the radio stories on our station.
What are the trainings like? What do you go in and actually do?
So we train people inside San Quentin really similar to how we train interns at our KALW Audio Academy here at the station. The only difference is we have to go to them, and there's no internet. That's pretty much the only difference. So we do a lot more printing out of paper, but we teach them everything from how to think of a good idea for a radio story all the way to doing interviews, cutting tape, editing, writing a script, recording it, and then it does go through a communications officer to get approved, and then we play it on our station.
How was the response to this? Was it immediately, you know, enthusiastic? Did people want to be a part of this immediately? Were people iffy?
On the inside, people, I think, have always been pretty enthusiastic. I mean, I think there's a couple things going on. I think people inside are really hungry for just things to do, but especially things that are meaningful that they can learn from, that they can potentially even leave prison someday and have, you know, a job skill set, something to put on their resume, and different skills that they can carry into any line of work. They're also really hungry to have their voices and stories heard, right? They feel like they're locked away and that people forget about them, and so they want to make sure that they're heard and give a perspective about prison that maybe challenges some of the stereotypes that we might see or hear in mainstream media.
So it's about feeling heard. And now we're starting a new project.
That's
at
right.
A different prison.
Yeah,
Eli.
So this one's at Solano State Prison in Vacaville. So that's about halfway to Sacramento. And the kind of stories we're producing there are a little bit different. Those are, it's more in the style of StoryCorps. So there's like a conversation between two people who know each other that's edited down into a 2 to 5 minute audio gem.
That sounds more involved. Is it?
It's actually it's a little simpler on the editing side, because compared to these features that are coming out of San Quentin, where there's a lot of different voices and maybe some other sound happening, this is more simple. This is just two people with two microphones. It's actually still very complicated as a producer to edit that stuff down, but we hope it'll be a little simpler starting off than what we're doing already at San Quentin.
How's it been so far?
It's been awesome. We just started a few weeks ago. We have 7 prisoners who are in the program, and they are, like, one of them's a poet, there's a musician, a banjo player, a couple Shakespearean actors, people who work on the newspaper inside Solano Prison, a computer programmer. So people with all these different skills, different ages, different interests, and who are just very excited to be doing this work.
Marissa, what is it like to visit these prisons, you know, kind of to walk into this different world? And you mentioned the teaching process is similar, but again, for example, there's no internet or these other really, really big changes that you have to work with. What's it like walking in?
Yeah, so there's also no cell phones allowed, right? So I have to leave my phone in the car, which is an interesting experience since I usually have it on me all day and I'm kind of checking it obsessively, sadly. So I leave my phone in the car. I walk into the prison. It does sort of feel like what you'd stereotypically think about a prison to feel like as you go through all these different security gates. There are these giant heavy metal doors that feel like you're going through a fortress. But actually, when you make it past the last security checkpoint and you're officially sort of in the San Quentin prison where people who are incarcerated are walking around, I often feel like, this is going to sound very weird, I feel like Dorothy when she arrives into the land of color, in the land of Oz, because the gardens of San Quentin, who are maintained by people who are incarcerated, are beautiful. And so you get through all these, you know, gray and really ugly security checkpoints, and then you're in this very beautiful, colorful place, which is not what I expected going in. And then I walk through the prison yard, which does feel like kind of the prison yard that you'd maybe see in a movie. There's guys playing basketball, guys, you know, lifting weights. And I get to the media lab, which is in the back of the yard. And there, another thing a lot of people ask me is, you know, are there correctional officers in the room with us? And there actually aren't. We're allowed to be in the room with the people that we work with. We have our own classroom, just kind of like we'd have here at KALW. And I have to say, another thing that might surprise people is that the day that I go in there is often the day of the week, of my week, where I smile the most, I laugh the most, and I have a really incredible time. I mean, I think these people inside, and I don't mean to romanticize it, I think given their conditions and given what they're living with, they maintain an extremely positive attitude. And I think they use laughter to get through their day. And so I definitely benefit from that. I feel really happy when I'm there and really present.
Eli, you've been at San Quentin and Solano. What are some of the differences you've noticed?
Yeah, they're similar security levels, but actually the prisons are very different. Solano really does not have the same number of volunteer programs as San Quentin does. Mm. And from what I hear, Solano is becoming more like what San Quentin is.
Because of this program.
Because of this program and because of other rehabilitative programs that are coming to Solano now. So our program, both of our programs are funded by the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation as part of a general push to decrease the size of the prison population and provide more rehabilitative opportunities. And so now some of those are coming to Solano as well. Mm-hmm. And so they're seeing a culture shift.
All right, guys. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks so much, Anna.
Thanks.